Up to the last day anointing, what this anointing is, because the anointing is essential. It is essential for any move of God. It is essential for God to speak, to empower, to take us on in this last day that we live. And so there is much that is attached to the anointing. But the idea of anoint, or to anoint, the idea of this actually comes, strangely enough, from toiletry. And it is the idea to the oil which was used, and of course is still used today, to oil skin, to stop evaporation. Particularly, it was used and still is today for those who live in very hot climates where sun heat can dry out the skin. So oil is essential to keep the skin soft and supple. Oil of anointing was used for burial, for anointing bodies, dead bodies. Was also used in medicine, the idea of medicine, also in cosmetic forms. All of these, very much today, we know of oil that is used when we buy hand creams or facial creams. One of the main ingredients, of course, is oil to replenish, to restore skin and so on. Now, the idea amongst the Jews, the Hebrews, it was used also to set apart kings when they were anointed to be king over Israel or over Judah, also over priesthood. The priesthood was also to anoint for ceremonial use. And it's also this idea as well, particularly in ministry, of an empowerment from God. We also, with the anointing oil, to anoint, or the anointing, is also the idea of to be set apart under something. And of course we get this idea, anoint, anointing oil, is also the word used in which to consecrate, to set apart for something. And so we as believers now, who are born again, covered with the blood of Christ, anointed as believers, baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are set apart unto holiness, because God is holy. And so the Holy Spirit sets us apart unto that work that he's working within us, unto holiness. Now, of course, we know the idea to set apart. You can be set apart unto anything. In many ways, you can look in the world today and you will see people who can be set apart unto their hobbies or unto their jobs, or they can be set apart to a certain task. So we see this actually happening in the world. But we, as believers now, are anointed by the Holy Spirit, and we are set apart unto God, his peculiar treasure, set apart unto his glory. So here we're getting now this idea of what it means to anoint. Now, the Word of God tells us clearly that we are a royal priesthood. So we see a new priesthood that is set into the body of Christ to function. Now, much of the priesthood that we see today or understand today is a false priesthood, where you are seeing men and women now set apart as priests or vicars, supposedly anointed for that ministering calling. But we see that that is a false priesthood. They're still taking the idea of the priesthood under the old covenant. And let's remember that that priesthood that God ordained was a priesthood for the nation of Israel. That is what that priesthood was for. And so they tried to adapt that type of priesthood, Old Testament priesthood, and bring it over under the new covenant, little realizing that now under the church age, the people are the priests. They are the ones that now offer up spiritual sacrifice and worship and praise. So in the assembly, where two or three are gathered together, the Lord says, there am I in the midst, where God sets the pastors or the fivefold ministry, he anoints that. He anoints you as priests to function. And so we've got all this misconception, this confusion today as to what really priesthood is about and what anointing is about. But through God restoring now, restoring us back into true worship, separating us from Babylon, from religion, from this corrupt priesthood that we see so much of that is around today. And by the way, that this priesthood is not anointed by God, but is appointed by man. Man places these men and women into positions. But very often, they're never called by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, at the end of the day, who's the one who anoints, who sets apart a minister to function for the glory of God, even though we are all a priesthood now functioning with our gifts. That is the idea of it. That is why I'm such a great believer that the body functions, that you are baptized into your local church, into your assembly, and there you are to function as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and anoints you. So, still looking at this idea of anoint, I just want to confirm this with you in the scriptures, and turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll take it up from verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll take it up from verse 20. And it says here, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." And so it goes on. So we see that God has anointed the church. He has anointed each one of you to offer up spiritual worship and sacrifice. So the saints today, and all of us who have come to join in with this meeting today, you are anointed for this today. You have received that anointing through the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we see that this is done through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to baptize, which seals you, which seals your walk, your faith. You are preserved in this life for eternity. So here we see all the believers are anointed to come together as priests to worship and praise God. Now, this may take some of you by surprise, because you have been under the impression, well, only the pastor is anointed, or a prophet is anointed, or an evangelist is anointed. Yes, they are. But we have to understand that in the anointing, you are anointed for a specific task, for a work. And you are certainly anointed for fellowship. You are certainly anointed for worship. You are certainly anointed when you come together to function as believers under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're anointed now as a royal priesthood. And that is good news. And that gets rid of all this bondage, all these men that are appointed by man, placed behind pulpits where they try to lord it over the flock. That begins to expose all of this. And this is what God is restoring, establishing again in the last days. The early church at Pentecost, when they were gathered there and the Holy Spirit came upon them, there they began to function as a body. This was something new that had been formed and brought together, which had been hid under old covenants, which was now being shown by the Holy Spirit, that now the believers are going to function. They are going to go out and share the good news of the gospel. They are going to go forth anointed to make disciples, to baptize them into the Holy Spirit and in water into the name of Jesus. Now it's the church, the people who go forth anointed to do this. And you've got to see this, brothers and sisters, that this is your function that God is establishing again in the last days. He is restoring and bringing back. That's why I keep saying to you, we're not under revival anymore. We're under the time of restoration. We are being restored back by the Holy Spirit to function as God leads. And that is why you also are anointed. And this is why we need to be under this anointing for the last day. This last day anointing is so that you who are also anointed may move forth by the power of the Holy Spirit, which you are sealed by, and be led by Him for His glory. And how the devil is trying to stop all of this, how he's trying to stop you and me fulfilling that function that the Holy Spirit has established for each one of us. Hallelujah. And there it is. It's clearly shown in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 onwards. We also see that Jesus also gave this same anointing. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Luke 4 and verse 18. And I'll read this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And of course he was referring to Isaiah, who had prophesied this hundreds of years earlier in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3. Here the Lord is fulfilling what had been prophesied many, many, many years before. And so Jesus, who has gone before to prepare the way for us, we likewise now walk in His footsteps, fulfilling the ministry, that an example that He's left us. And it wouldn't be inappropriate to actually put your name there and to boldly say that the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. Amen. And why He's now upon me, anointed me, so that I can preach the gospel to the poor. And it doesn't mean those that are just poor financially, but the poor in spirit. The poor who see that they have a need of Christ in their life, because their lives are wretched and poor. That's what it means there. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and that is what the good news of the gospel does. It's good news. It heals those that are broken in heart. And that's what this world will do. Without Christ, this world will break your heart. And we're going to see more and more hearts being broken by the spirit of this age, sadly. So you are anointed with good news, hallelujah, to proclaim liberty to the captives. What does that mean? It means that God has empowered you to be able to cast out demons. For demons very often hold people in captive. They hold them emotionally, psychologically. That's how the devil works. And so God has anointed the church to cast out demons, to receive the recovery of sight to the blind. And one can take that literally and spiritually, where the good news of the gospel is to open the eyes of the blind, but even you may find some who are physically blind, and to pray for them that they may receive their sight. Hallelujah. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That also is set upon the church. It was not only set upon Jesus, the forerunner, it's now also set upon us as well. And we are now to continue to fulfill and complete That ministry which Jesus started, the church is now to fulfill and finish it for the glory of God. Amen. But this will never be achieved unless the church is anointed. And not only anointed, but that you are under a last day anointing and message and teaching, which is so, so important. Now, the Holy Spirit has come, as I've been showing you, to anoint. But not only to anoint us, he's also come as our teacher. Now, a lot of us know this, but I think in passing, we do need to just look at this again. Because he's also come as our teacher. And turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists who have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But it says here, you have received an unction. The King James calls it an unction, but it's actually an anointing. You have received an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. So what we see there is, because you are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, God has opened your eyes, taken the scale away from your eyes, that you may be able to begin to know the truth. And if you know the truth and the truth sets you free, then that unction, that anointing, is simply going to confirm to you what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Because any minister who's anointed by the Holy Spirit, that is the same anointing by the same Spirit that is what you are seeing, what you are experiencing. Everything has to line up. And that is why when we see anything that cuts across, then we have to check it out. And we have to discern, is that the anointing teaching through that person or not? Now, sometimes we may not get that straight away. Sometimes we have to pray about it. We have to wait on God. But ministries have to be discerned. And I will look at this later on. Now, in verse 7, it says here, that the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the truth, the anointing, what does it do? It keeps you abiding in him, which is essential for salvation and to make it into the kingdom of God. And so this anointing that you have received as a priesthood, God teaching you, speaking to you, opening your eyes, when God then sets into the churches in Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, who are anointed by the Spirit, they are men who simply confirm to you the truth you are receiving. And that is how God always does it. And establishes and works on this. That is the basis. So that when you hear a minister speak by the anointing, you will recognize that voice, because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You will know that voice speaking, because through the Holy Spirit, that is Jesus, the great shepherd, speaking to you and to me. This is vital for the last day anointing. This is vital if we want to grow and mature as sons in the last day. You won't otherwise. And sadly, some brothers and sisters who still sit under these men who are appointed by man and not by the Holy Spirit, this is why they're fearful, ineffectual, they don't mature, they are not growing up, and this is why they are kept under confusion, and they go from church to church, never really growing in. It's a tragedy. But God is restoring the church, the true church again. And how is he restoring this? He's not restoring it very often on the end of your road. He's restoring his church's body, his body in the wilderness. Because it's in the wilderness where she will overcome. It's in the wilderness where he can build his body, his church. And it's in the wilderness because then man will not touch it and interfere. I can challenge everyone who is listening today, if you read about any revival that has taken place since the Lord has risen and seated on the right hand of the Father, any revival that has come through history, through the church age, you will find in the end, man has tried to control it and domineer it, and it has sadly come to very little in the end. God isn't going to let this happen in this last day. Because in this last day, it's not a revival, it is a restoring. And God is now restoring the true pattern of the New Testament church, bringing you and I now back, not under man anymore, under his control, his deception, but under the Holy Spirit, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to say to anyone, who is your covering? It's not a man, it's the Lord. We can also appeal to this in John 14. In John 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26, it says here, but the help, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Now, praise God, that is supernatural. Notice the emphasis, he says, I will do this, I will teach you, I will bring all these things to your remembrance. I don't want you in that sense, I just simply want you to yield over to the Spirit and let me teach through you. And that's why God is showing us in the last day the cross, that we too are to take up, so that we die to the self-life. That self-life that tries to get in the way, as we surrender ourselves daily by taking up our cross and following Christ, so he clearly says, the Holy Spirit who has come to help you, the Father was who has sent in my name, he's come to teach you all things. Isn't that amazing? All things. Everything that you need to know, I need to know in this life, the Holy Spirit says, I will teach you everything and more that you need to know. And you needn't have to worry, concern yourself in any way or form. And he said, not only will I teach you, but I will bring these things to your remembrance. Now, why does God say he's going to bring these things to your remembrance? Because he knows that man's mind, man's memory is fallen. And because it's fallen, God is restoring our minds, our memories back again. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tell us. And so as we're in this time of our minds, memories, being healed, being restored, he says, don't worry about that. I'll bring everything and more you need to know to your remembrance at the time when you need it. Isn't that wonderful? This is why faith, brothers and sisters, is a rest. You don't have to strive. And this is why God, I believe, is against all these theological colleges. Because these theological colleges try to cram man's mind with theology, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to do it, and I'll bring it to your remembrance when you need it. Can you see again how man gets in the way with all his good ideas and intentions? The Holy Spirit is sovereign. He has come to take over your life wholly and completely. Amen. Hallelujah. Still not convinced? Turn to John 16 and verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. And here he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Listen to what Jesus again is saying here. He says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, and we have now received the Spirit of truth through the baptism of the Spirit, through the new birth, he says, I will guide you in all truth. So it's an ongoing process. You are being guided into truth. This morning, as we are under the anointing, we are being guided into truth. We are going to receive more truth today than when we had 2 hours ago, because the Holy Spirit is guiding and he's leading us. Hallelujah. Right. So he says, he will guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, says he will reveal all that God the Father reveals to us, stage by stage. Why does the Father do this? Verse 14 tells us, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you for the glory of God.
Amen.
God does all of this for you and I for one purpose, that he might be glorified, that man can boast in nothing. That you cannot boast in any of your teaching, in any of the truth that you've received. Everything you have received is by the anointing, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through Christ, that the Father may be glorified. That is why, and that is why the last day anointing is so imperative that we be under this. Amen. So the Holy Spirit has come to continue this revelation and the anointing, because the Holy Spirit is still speaking to us. He's still revealing truth. We are still, in a sense, custodians of the revelation of God. This is what God intended to do with the children of Israel. He wanted to raise them up as priests and kings and teachers, to teach the nations the glory of God, to teach them the ways that they should walk, because Israel was the only nation out of all nations who had received revelation from God. So has God finished that task? Not at all. He's now handed this over to the church. The church now are custodians of the revelation of God for the last day. And for that to go forth, he needs to anoint that. And God says before he returns, the gospel will go to the four corners of the earth. For that to be done and achieved, it has to be anointed. And it has to be anointed by a royal priesthood, a people who are anointed for such a task, a mission of the last day. Amen? Now you may say to me, well, I don't feel I play any real key role in this. Oh, indeed you do, saints. Your very prayers, praying for the word that it will go forth, God takes by the anointing and he anoints those prayers that they may be fulfilled. Did you know that if you are in faith, seeking God, walking in His ways, your very prayers are anointed for the last day. They are vital. Without prayer, without intercession, I would not be able to preach this message. So the church, your prayers are absolutely vital for this last day anointing which God is working with. And so, as he continues to teach us through the revelation, so he's raising up the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher in Ephesians 4, so that they also continue with that anointing which we're under to function under their gifts and ministry. And one could almost describe it as one huge, great anointing, and under that anointing, we all receive an anointing as well to function. So nobody's trying to lord it over anyone. Nobody's trying to outdo anyone. Nobody's looking to say, oh, that man is more anointed than you. Oh, that person in the church is more important than you. No, the Word of God tells us that those who seem to appear to be the least are probably the most anointed and needed in the church. Yeah. Your very presence is an anointing. Your very prayers is an anointing. Your singing, joining voices with the saints is an anointing. The very fact that you are in this room joining us in worship and praise is the anointing. No, we don't go by feelings. No, we don't look at our lives in a sense, because it can always be against us. It can look so negative. But either we believe that we are part of this last day anointing, or we're not. But Jesus said, my sheep will hear it, and they will say amen, and they will follow God for this wherever he leads and guides. That's the whole point. Well, to bring this to a conclusion, the anointing then is essential for growth. I don't actually believe that the sons of God will come forth unless they are under this anointing, because this anointing causes you to mature, to grow in faith, to walk by faith in these last days. So it's essential for the sons of God to come forth. I've already hinted to this, but I would just say it again in passing, that the anointing that we're under is essential for true fellowship. That Greek word koinonia, true fellowship. I don't believe that there can be a real true fellowship among the saints unless the saints are under this last day anointing. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit anoints you for such fellowship. He is the only one who can truly anoint us for fellowship. He is the only one that can anoint us to love those that we couldn't love in the natural. It takes an anointing. So we need to see this in the context of how God presents this in his word. And then, of course, I've been laboring in this, how that the anointing is essential for our teaching. That is paramount. And I have said to you for many, many years that a remnant of you have been sitting under anointing for years, receiving this anointed word. What a blessing that is. And we've got some of our brothers and sisters who are now coming in, being drawn by the Spirit, who in this last day and last hour are also receiving this anointed word, that they may grow by this and overcome and stand and endure in their trials, when in the natural we would all of us just want to give up. So here we are under teaching. The anointing is essential for our prayer life. This is why we make much about praying, interceding in the Spirit. Because as you pray and intercede in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit anoints that prayer, that praying. Unlike praying in the natural, in the mind, which has its place, and we do that, but really, the real anointing of prayer and intercession is that praying in the Spirit, as it says in Jude 20. Again, prayers need to be anointed. Because the whole church, you who are the royal priesthood, you are praying, you are interceding. That's what we were doing this morning. All of us, we were praying and praying in the Spirit, offering up those prayers as intercessions so that God may be glorified, so that God will answer those prayers. We don't have prayer lists in Full Gospel Assembly. The Holy Spirit will reveal his prayer list, and we don't have to work that one out. He says he'll bring all those things to our remembrance. He'll bring everything we need to do to pray, to intercede anyone or any situation. When we come together in our prayer meetings as well, we wait on the Holy Spirit, and he guides us and he anoints us. We're not into prayer lists. I used to be in that bondage years ago when I was in denominations. And most people who got off a prayer list, they got off it when they died. That's what prayer lists were. No, the Holy Spirit now, he's come to take over. He's come to anoint. He's come to heal us and deliver us and set the captives free. That is the anointing. Hallelujah. And so, this is what he's doing now. He's come to deliver us, to set us free. We're in a process of being healed, of being delivered. And there are needs in this church. There are needs in this room. There are some who are going through real, real difficult trials. Trials that you or I could probably never go through. But thank God for the anointing, where we can pray, intercede, we stand, we confess the promises of God over each one of us. We don't accept their healing. We don't accept disease, bondage, and all those things. We confess a good confession. We line our confession up with God's word. But by the stripes of Christ, I was healed at Calvary. Now you can't say that unless you can say that by the anointing. And if you say it by the anointing, then you're saying it by faith. And if you're saying it by faith, you're saying it by the anointing. You can't separate any of this. Hallelujah. Well, and how is this tested? How do we test this anointing? How do we know an anointing is present? How do we know that this room today, where we've assembled together, how do we know that this room is anointed? Well, I'll tell you how we test it. Turn with me finally to 1 John 4, chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John 4 and verse 1. And wish to God more saints would apply this test. 1 John 4 and verse 1. And here he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then he goes, and he sets that test as to whether you believe that Christ was the Son of God, God in flesh, incarnate. That is the true testing. So what are we to do? The Bible tells us we are to discern and test whether this is of the anointing or not. And friends, it won't take long. It won't take long to test, to bring out these basic testings. And you will know. And always, if something is anointed, if a room is anointed, or a church is anointed, or a minister is anointed, you will always have it confirmed also with peace, with joy, with the Lord Jesus Christ being exalted and glorified. You will know if it's anointed because your faith will be quickened. Hope will be ministered to you. Your eyes will be taken off yourself and be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will know if a man is anointed because he's not in any way promoting himself, trying to get you to look at him and put him on a pedestal. No, his ministry will always be taking your eyes away from the vessel and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifying him and him alone. These are fundamental tests that we have to apply and do. And God expects us to do this. But sadly, you've got some believers who are almost queuing up to get deceived and never, ever discern or test the Spirit. And a lot of them, I don't even think, would know what I'm even talking about in testing the Spirit. And yet we're told that's what we're to do. We're to test everything. What is this doing to me? Is this giving me life? Is this building me up? Is this giving me up hope? Is this bringing me out of depression? Is this causing me to look away from my trials that seem to almost overwhelm me and bring me back to the promises of God? These are the tests that we apply. And that's what I want you to do, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to see, because there is so much out there that is so deceptive. There is poison that is attached to the word that is being preached. And that is why God is restoring a remnant again back in the last days under this anointing, so that you can function as a priesthood. So that you can offer up that true worship and praise to God. You do it, friends, not just the minister, not just the pastor. You pray for the sick. You cast out demons. You declare and share the good news of the gospel. You go and make disciples, as Jesus said. You go baptizing them into the name of Jesus. That is what he's restoring. As I've said to you many, many times, brothers and sisters, I'm actually doing myself out of a ministry. That's really what I'm doing. I'm simply here to help you to be equipped. That you go forth and function in this last day. And that is what the church is being prepared and being restored and brought back to do. No longer are you going to be held under false priesthood, under men who've been appointed by men and not anointed by God. That will hold you in bondage. You will never mature. You will never grow up as the sons of God under those conditions. And that's why God has called you out, separated you, baptized you in the Spirit unto himself, so that you might come in this last day under a true anointing. But it is going to restore you. It's going to equip you. I believe it's worth it, brothers and sisters. I know a lot of you have gone through deep, deep trials. I know some of you have felt you just can't go on. You feel that you have no more faith. Can I really be a Christian? But friends, there is hope. And all the while we put our ears to this good news, this hope, we have a hope. And that work which the Lord has begun, he will complete and finish in your life and my life. And I will say it again, and I don't apologize for saying this over and over again, but brothers and sisters, God has made no mistake over your life. He never made a mistake when he called you from the foundation of the world. He called you very simply because he loves you and he loves me. And he's not going to explain any more than that. You are called by the pure, perfect love. Now let God do himself. Because otherwise, it looks hopeless. And the world is getting worse and worse. We're now seeing the Antichrist system being built before our very eyes. It's a spirit of control that is in operation. And brothers and sisters, you have the true freedom and liberty today, because if you know the truth, then the truth sets you free. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we praise and thank you for drawing us to this place to be able to hear your word. Oh, Father, we thank you for the power and the anointing of your word that just gives us life, speaks life into us, Lord. But it needs the anointing, as you have shown us. And we all of us need to sit under this end-time anointing if you are to complete and fulfill that work in us, the church. And so, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for this meeting. Father, I'm sorry that I couldn't be physically with my brothers and sisters today. But Lord, I thank you for the means of being able to deliver this message through the computer. Thank you, Father, for using this and how the word is going to the four corners of the earth in this last day. We praise you, Father, for this. And Lord, I pray your special blessing, protection, preservation over everyone, Father, in this room today and at the assembly. Preserve and keep them by the blood of Jesus. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength always, Father, and above all, let their faith fail not. I ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.